the students that apply to the program have an associate's degree already, and then they also have to be registered. Electroencephalographic technicians and polysomnographic technicians can apply to the program. So they have a two-year degree, plus they have been working, and they're registered with these different associations.
Now, those big words you just used, basically sleep technicians?
Basically, they're the ones that can take your neurological information and other information about sleep and be able to pass that on to the physician, and then they're part of a team that determines how well you're sleeping.
The program begins this fall, correct?
That's right. It was just approved at the April meeting of the Board of Governors.
And how many students are enrolled?
Our plan is to have 15 students each year at this time. However, I have to admit, we've had a huge number of people interested in the program. In order to expand beyond that 15, we would have to have more faculty available.
Tell us about how some of the courses work. It's all online, right?
It is primarily online. So the basic coursework is all distance education. And then students have to do a practicum and also actually an internship that is at a sleep center or a hospital doing practical work. So they come in and they have a project that they are working on under the supervision of the physicians at the particular center.
Why do you think that it's only happening now in 2012, that this is the first degree program for a bachelor's degree in studying sleep?
The number of sleep centers that have been started over the past 20 years has increased significantly, especially over the past 5, 6, 7 years. And the number of people then that are needed to be able to work in those centers has also increased. I think our understanding of the effects of sleeplessness as well as poor sleep has really driven folks to try to, one, understand what ends up happening if we don't sleep well, but also to be able to come in and be tested for that. And we also understand now there are different things that we can do to help people that snore and that have sleep apnea and that have a variety of other difficulties with sleep. I don't think probably when I was growing up, you know, 40 years ago, that people really understood that, other than the fact that you were sleepy, that this really affected your, you know, ability to concentrate, your mood, your ability to respond to bacterial infections, et cetera. So I think that as we understand more about how sleep affects our normal physiology, we really have to be able to help treat people that are having problems with sleep.
Dr. Yvette Hewitt is interim chair of the Department of Kinesiology at UNC Charlotte. Thanks very much.
Thank you.